Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, Packers fans? Happy Monday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I am your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. As always, cannot thank you enough for being here. Cannot thank you enough for making Pack-A-Day part of your daily routine. We have three games left in the 2024-2025 season. Those games are, of course, the Commanders versus the Eagles in the NFC Championship game, just as everyone expected from the very beginning of the season on. We've been on that from day one, Eagles, Commanders, no questions about it. Don't go back and listen to any previous episodes on predictions or anything like that. Eagles, Commanders, NFC Championship game. And then the epic Chiefs-Bills, I guess, rematch, but it's more than that. They've met a ton of times. The Chiefs always get the better of Buffalo, at least in the postseason. And KC is going for the three-peat. The Bills are trying to finally get to that Super Bowl. And then, of course, again, Eagles trying to get back, Commanders trying to get there. Like, this is a pretty good group of teams, and you have a differing view of all of them, right? You've got the perennial Super Bowl team in the Chiefs, the team that's there, the team that I think everyone gets to this point and they're just like, all right, we're ready. We're all ready for them to lose at this point, right? And it's such a weird thing because you would think that like the innate thing would be to cheer on greatness, and it just isn't. We're always cheering for the 16 seed. We're always cheering for the underdog. We want a new story, a fresh take, and that's just what it is. It's just how it works in life. I can't really explain it, but I think everyone's ready for something different. And then you have the Bills, who have had a ton of opportunities and just cannot get over the hump. It feels like this Bills team is almost like the 96 Packers and or like that Packers, the Favre-esque Packers, and the Chiefs are just their Cowboys, that they just cannot get past them. Now, Green Bay never really got past Dallas. They got in 96 past Dallas because they didn't have to play Dallas, right? But we'll see. Can Buffalo finally slay that dragon and get through Kansas City and actually get to the Super Bowl? We shall see. And then you've got the Commanders, a team that nobody expected to be there. And then the Eagles, who there were definitely some expectations for, you go and get Saquon Barkley, they completely remake that secondary, but coming off a really, really bizarre 2023 where they started so well and then just completely fell off a cliff and couldn't do anything, lost in the first round of the playoffs. And that question was always going to become, was that going to be something that happened again? Could they overcome it? Like, what would that look like, right? And here they are. And then, you know, again, then four very different teams on four very different wavelengths of where they are. And I think a lot of people are going to be cheering for Commanders and Bills. Again, Eagles and Chiefs going to be the favorites in these games. So I think that makes for some really good championship games. And then, of course, the winner of those two in the Super Bowl, those are our three games remaining. I'm excited. I think it's going to be good football. I think any team can win any of these. I do think the Commanders can beat the Eagles. I do think the Bills can certainly beat the Chiefs, but we'll see. I think the Commanders are the least likely, and I don't think I'm breaking any news here, to actually win a Super Bowl. But man, Jaden Daniels has been massively impressive, just massively, massively impressive. And along the way, of course, to this matchup, the Detroit Lions eliminated by those Washington Commanders, and the NFC North in the playoffs, this unbelievable best division in football, looked like juggernauts. Could, you know, what version of the NFC North NFC Championship game were we going to get? Was it going to be Vikings Packers, Lions Packers, Lions Vikings? Like, that was the question going in. Like, clearly, or at least one of them would be there, and one of them would be representing the NFC in the Super Bowl. And instead, the Packers, Vikings, and Lions win a combined zero games in the postseason. And what I say all the time, especially when I'm talking about the Packers, especially when it comes to the postseason, is just trying to remind people how insanely hard this is. The Eagles last year, we talked about, right, fell off a cliff, and they, I think, had to have had some conversations of like, Do we fire Nick Sirianni? They did fire their defensive coordinator. Was Jalen Hurts going to be the guy? Like, it went as disastrous as it could go in the second half of last season. And they could have panicked. They could have done the let's cut and fire everyone that everyone seems to want to do following the season. And they would not be right where they are right now. Instead, they retool. They go get a Saquon Barkley. They go have an epic draft that includes Cooper DeJean and Quinyon Mitchell in that secondary, two players that they desperately needed. They go out and get a Bryce Huff. They trade away Hassan Reddick. And they do a variety of different moves that really have paid off pretty well. And now they are in a position where they are one game away from a Super Bowl. Washington right now is that new up-and-coming team. They're the team that sort of made it out of nowhere to the NFC Championship. And maybe they lose to Philly. We'll see. But let's say they lose to Philly. And let's say next year they make their run to the playoffs and they get eliminated in the wild card round. Everyone next year will be having that conversation of like, oh, you know, they took a major step back and Jaden Daniels wasn't as good in his second year as he was in his first year. Similar conversations of CJ Stroud and Jordan Love. What's going on with them right now? And then, you know, the Chiefs are just the Chiefs. They just keep on winning and there's, you know, no real complaints about them, of course, because they're back-to-back Super Bowl champions and going for that third one. And then the Bills, like, there was the big question this past year. You know, the Bills were, you know, could they win with Sean McDermott? You know, could they win with Josh Allen? Those questions will still exist, just like they are right now with Baltimore and what's going on there. And obviously with Detroit and Jared Goff, Minnesota, like, what's their ceiling going to be? And, like, winning is really, really hard. The Baltimore Ravens, the Green Bay Packers, I'm going to put them in there too. I know they didn't play like it like the end of the year, but the Baltimore Ravens, the Green Bay Packers, the Minnesota Vikings, the Detroit Lions, these are really, really, really good football teams. Really good football teams. Yeah, probably the Ravens and the Lions ahead of, you know, maybe the Vikings and Packers, or at least maybe the Packers, sure. But, you know, you end up in this scenario every single year where 31 teams are disappointed. And as soon as that team wins a Super Bowl, right? Let's say it's the Chiefs, you know, whoever it might be, we're already on to the offseason. We're on to the offseason, the draft, the you know, scouting combine, free agency, all of it. We immediately move on. We barely get to celebrate that team that won it. And meanwhile, all the teams that lost, the 31 teams, we get to talk about all the things that they did wrong and how we need to nuke everything and fire every coach and cut every player and start over and start fresh. And again, I'll say it one more time. If Philly did that this past year, they're not where they are at right now. The same thing with Buffalo. They made the determination, you know what, we can't win with Sean McDermott, need to go in a different direction. And yeah, all those sort of things, we're maybe not seeing them in this situation right now. It's difficult. This Detroit Lions team looked destined to finally make a Super Bowl, and they don't win a playoff game. The Baltimore Ravens, Lamar Jackson, you know what, probably going to win another MVP, three-time MVP, and Derrick Henry, and they looked unstoppable on offense all season long. And they get in a game like this and just turnover after turnover, turnover after turnover, and they can't overcome it. It's so hard to win. It is really, really hard to win. And I get that we all want that instant gratification. And when something doesn't go the way that we want our pound of flesh, or we want our blood. We want to go with pitchforks and get really angry at everything. At least that seems to be the case. But man, I cannot stress enough. And I talked about it immediately following the loss. I try to talk about it whenever we get to, like, after every single regular season loss, fire this person, fire that person, or, you know, all of it. Like, you do realize, right, that the teams that do that, that are constantly churning the head coach, quarterback, offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, front office, personnel, those are the teams that suck every single year. And I'm not saying there isn't a time and a place. It was time to probably move on from Jason Rebrovich. It was certainly time to move on from Joe Barry last year. There are times where changes need to be made. But these whole scale, let's go nuclear and burn it to the ground and immediately making a determination that Jordan's not the guy, especially after a injury-riddled season where I don't think we ever really saw the real Jordan this year, or, you know, firing Matt LaFleur because it was a down year and a year that they still went 11-6 and made the playoffs and with the youngest team in the NFL. Like, there will be plenty of time for those conversations depending on how things go over the next year, a couple of years. But right now, this team still has an unbelievably strong foundation set. Yesterday, we talked about what areas need to be improved. And if you want to go back and listen to that one, if you haven't already, we go over and list the 10 things that Green Bay needs to address this offseason and put them in order. I think it's a fun thing to go through, but just remember, I say it all the time. I cannot stress it enough. Just please recognize how insanely difficult it is to win. Even when you have a lines, and I talk about that 49ers team, you know, that the Shanahan teams that were just stacked, and they get a Trent Williams and a George Kittle and a Nick Bosa and a Deebo Samuel and a, like, we, you know, Christian McCaffrey, Kyle Juszczyk. We could go on and on. Fred Warner, Dre Greenlaw, like, just stacked with talent at so many of the key positions, and like, just an unbelievable football team. And you get that, and you have Shanahan as coach, and everything's in your favor, and you still just run into the Chiefs, and you can't get over the hump. Really, really, really difficult to win. It makes, when you actually get there and win it, it makes it that much more special. Just remember, most of the time, the vast, vast, vast majority of the time, your season's going to end in heartbreak. And it did, as we watched this weekend, for a team like Baltimore, for a team like Detroit, and obviously, you know, lesser so for the Houston Texans, maybe lesser so maybe a little bit for the Rams, although I'm sure they felt like they could have made a run at that thing. But it's really hard. And yeah, just always stress that, because, again, I know we always want to be angry afterwards and go nuclear on everyone, but you could do it every year. You could probably do it just about every single year. Outside of 96 and 2010, in my lifetime, there's always something to be angry at. But more often than not, you're usually better off sticking with what you have. And I'm not saying always sticking with what you have, but appreciating the things that are going well, continuing to try to trend in that direction, making the corrections that you need to, and hoping that you can overcome those things that you need to overcome and make some key adjustments into the next year and go from there. But it is very, very difficult. Just remember that. Well, that was a really fun weekend of football. And while I'm definitely bummed out that the season is coming to an end, we've got two more epic games this weekend and still plenty of time to do some winning on Prize Picks. And the best way to get in on the action on Conference Championship Sunday is with Prize Picks, where you can win up to 1,000 times your money. And it's no wonder that Prize Picks is the best place to get real money action while watching the playoffs. Prize Picks offers a variety of weekly promotions that can lead to big payouts. And don't forget that there are plenty of other sports available to play as well. And it's never a bad time to get in on all the basketball action. And I think I'm going to be keeping an eye out for some Giannis options this week. This Sunday, however, I'm going to go with Jaden Daniels and Saquon Barkley to put on an epic show in Philly while Josh Allen finally puts his team over the top and gets Buffalo into Super Bowl Sunday. If you're ready to start winning, then download the app today and use code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. That's $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup by using code PACKADAY. What are you waiting for? Prize Picks, run your game. All right, let's get to our main topic for today, the Packers that will stay or leave that are currently on this team. And today we're going to be going over the exclusive rights free agents, restricted free agents, unrestricted free agents, and some potential cut candidates that Green Bay has, and which players could ultimately be gone, and which of these players will be coming back, or at least in my opinion, could be coming back in 2025. Let's start with the easiest possible topic. I saw somebody go through and list all the players that will either, you know, Green Bay will bring back or they won't bring back. And there were some of these exclusive rights free agents that were listed on their, you know, will not return list. This is about the easiest portion that we will talk about in any episode ever. Your exclusive rights free agents are Bo Melton, Kadeem Telford, Emmanuel Wilson, Aaron Mosby, Zane Anderson, and Daniel Whalen. The Packers will go 6-for-6 in bringing back those six exclusive rights free agents. Now, that doesn't mean they're ultimately going to make the 53-man roster. Those are training camp conversations, right? And as we get to the end of camp and do our 53-man roster predictions and things like that, that's a different story. But for now, exclusive rights free agents are basically team options. All right, so if you follow the NBA at all, a lot of times how they build contracts are with like a player option or a team option. And if you have a team option, it means that you can opt that player into the contract. Usually it's like a, you know, 1-year deal that they, you know, the team can opt into for X amount of money, and it's up to the team. They can either exercise that or they can decline it, and then the player becomes a unrestricted free agent. This is the NFL version of team options, but to make it even more beautiful for the team is that it's a team option at the respective player's vet minimum salary. And to even make it better, to add just a little cherry on top of that sundae, is it comes with zero guaranteed dollars. So this is literally the best deal that you can basically possibly get for a player that is in this category. You get them on a vet minimum deal with zero guaranteed on a 1 year team or a 1 year contract. And it's totally up to the team. The player has really no say in it whatsoever. They can't hold out. They can't do anything. There's no advantage. So they know they're just going to be back on a 1 year vet minimum deal if Green Bay wants him back. And there's 0% chance, in my opinion, that Green Bay looks at Bo Melton, Kadeem Telford, Emmanuel Wilson, Aaron Mosby, Zane Anderson, or Daniel Whalen and says, we don't want them back on a 1 year vet minimum, zero guaranteed deal. Because again, because it's zero guaranteed, you can release them at any time. You can release them and there's no downside. So you have a 90-man roster. You have a 90-man roster. These are all players that were worthy of your 53-man roster this past year. So to say that on a 1 year vet minimum, you wouldn't bring them back to put on your 90-man roster for the time being with no downside whatsoever, it's just it's basically an impossibility. Green Bay will bring all of those players back on the 90-man, all on vet minimum deals, and it is a beautiful thing for Green Bay and for players like, you know, Daniel Whalen, Emmanuel Wilson, like, you know, some good players there. Bo Melton's played some solid football for Green Bay. Great deals for Green Bay, and all of them will be back on the 90-man roster. And then as far as, you know, which ones, again, make the 53, we'll have those discussions well down the line, dependent upon what competition comes in via the draft and free agency and what the roster looks like and those sort of things. That's, again, a discussion for another day. But for now, expect all six of them back on the 90-man roster. Now, Green Bay only has one restricted free agent, and that is tight end John Fitzpatrick. Talked a little bit about this one yesterday. He played 73 total snaps this season, had a 55.1 PFF grade, a negative 0.25 grade for me. These are very identical grades overall. Didn't play a ton, was active over Ben Sims in that final game of the year in the wild card round. Here's the thing. There is, I think, about a 0% chance that Green Bay brings John Fitzpatrick back or tenders him as a restricted free agent and pays him millions of dollars to come. I think it's like $3 million, somewhere in that range-ish, to come back. I don't think there's any chance that that happens. Could be wrong, but I don't see it. So they will not tag him. He will become an unrestricted free agent, and I think Green Bay will have a conversation with him to bring him back on a one-year vet minimum deal that maybe includes like a $100,000 signing bonus just as a little sweetener in the deal and, you know, just to make sure he comes back to Green Bay. But I do think he will stay, but I don't think they will tender him as a restricted free agent. He'll become unrestricted. And then I do think Green Bay will find a way to bring him back, probably again, very, very close to a vet minimum deal, if not a complete vet minimum deal, to come in and compete for a number three, number four tight end spot in 2025. And then that brings us to our unrestricted free agents. Green Bay has what? 11 unrestricted free agents. We're just going to go through them one by one. I'm going to start with Andre Dillard. 13 total snaps this past year, 72.7 PFF grade in those 13 snaps, plus 0.05 Andy grade. This is a choose your own adventure, so to speak. Really difficult to tell what Green Bay thought of Dillard. He did have an injury towards the end of the season. He was inactive for that final wildcard game. And a couple of the games prior to that, again, because of that injury, he was active a decent amount of games. Again, only got in for 13 total snaps. You know, he played a little bit of left tackle, right tackle in camp. I don't think they really tried him at guard all that much. I think he's probably a tackle through and through. I think he's probably a left tackle. I don't think he has a ton of versatility. I don't know that he's going to have really a lot of options on the open market. If he's willing to come back for another 1 year vet minimum, I could see Green Bay being like, yeah, we'll bring you back and you can compete in camp. I think if he gets anything on top of that, any sort of signing bonus, anything over the minimum, I think Green Bay probably says, go for it, have fun somewhere else. So I think this just depends on if Green Bay can get him for that vet minimum. I'll say that Andre Dillard tries something different and goes to a different team and sees if maybe he gets an opportunity elsewhere. But I'm going to say Andre Dillard is not back with the team. But again, this is your guess is as good as mine. Choose your own adventure. If they bring him back, I will not be surprised at all. But I do think it's probably going to have to be on a 1 year vet minimum deal if Dillard is back with the team. Josh Myers, this is one of the bigger ones that Green Bay is going to have to decide upon. 1,067 snaps. If you're looking for a reason why Green Bay, I'm sure, really values him, three back-to-back-to-back seasons over 1,000 snaps, 54.2 PFF grade, the worst of his career. a negative 2.7 grade for me. And he was the lowest graded player on the entire Packers offense. I believe the second lowest graded player on the entire team for me this past season. He was really low on PFF center rankings. Green Bay loves him. All right. They love the character. They love the person. Jordan has a ton of faith in him, as we heard from Matt LaFleur, or sorry, from Brian Gutekunst the other day. I think this is pretty close to a coin flip. I'm going to say that Josh Myers is gone. I think this is similar to John Runyon Jr. last year. I think Myers will be given the option to stay by Green Bay. I think the Packers will give him a number. Maybe that's a, you know, 3-year, $24 million deal, 3-year, $30 million deal, something like that with a decent signing bonus. My guess is like 3 years, 27. I'll say 3 years, 27. And I think Green Bay will probably lowball that signing bonus a little bit. And I think he'll see the open market, and I think he'll get a bigger deal elsewhere, is my guess. It's really tough to say. If he tests that open market and doesn't get what he's hoping for, could I see him coming back to Green Bay? Absolutely. I really could. And listen, it's really difficult to find offensive linemen. I don't think Josh Myers has been a value add for Green Bay. I've had him in the negative, you know, these last 3 years have been, the years 2 and 3 in his career were really, really rough. This year was a little bit better at times, but then by the end of the year, it was kind of getting back to same old Josh Myers. I think it's time to move on, but I do think Green Bay likes him a lot more than me or you or pretty much anyone else out there. They liked him more than Creed Humphrey from day one. They have liked this guy a lot overall. I don't think that's paid dividends, but I would still not be stunned if they brought him back at all. As far as whether that would be a massive mistake, I do think Myers and his ability to make the checks at the line and his communication with Jordan and Jordan's trust in him is important. I think, again, it's difficult to find offensive linemen. If you can get him back on a decent deal and actually bring in competition for him, and if he'd be open to being like, hey, you might end up having to be the swing guard tackle guard center, something like that, I'm more okay with it. But I just think he ends up with a better starting gig somewhere else. Somebody else pays him a little bit more. And I think it's time for Green Bay to move on, go in a different direction, and for Josh Myers, get a look somewhere else. Next up is Tyler Davis. He, of course, has had back-to-back injury-riddled seasons. This is a coin flip as well. I'm going to say he stays for now. I don't think he comes anywhere close to making a 53-man roster next year, but they love him on special teams. I don't think he's going to have any value anywhere else. So I think Green Bay can offer him a 1-year vet minimum. I think he'll gladly take it, come in and compete in camp. I don't think he makes it out of camp, but I could see him being a practice squad guy next year. And maybe a call up because he was, you know, 2 years ago, he was the Packers' most snapped special teams player. And if he has a huge camp or something crazy like that, I could maybe see him have a chance at a 53. But I'm going to say that they do bring him back, 1 year vet minimum. But I think they could also look at back-to-back full injury seasons and just say, we're good. We're going to go in a different direction. So this one is a coin flip to me, but I will say officially that I think he is back for now, but probably doesn't make the 53. AJ Dillon's an interesting conversation. Zero snaps. I do think he's gone. Here's zero snaps, of course, due to the injury. Well, we don't really know what the injury status is for Dillon, if he's good to go moving forward. But here's what I'll say. Let's just say he's 100% healthy. If I'm his agent, I'm doing everything I can to talk him out of going back to Green Bay. I mean, you're talking, he's probably the fifth running back on the depth chart to start the offseason. You've got Chris Brooks, Emmanuel Wilson, Marshawn Lloyd, and Josh Jacobs that are probably not going anywhere. And that's not even including anyone that they might take in the draft or undrafted free agency just to bring in and compete as well. You're coming in as the number five running back. And if you're Green Bay, you're not offering anything besides a 1-year vet min, maybe a little bit of a signing bonus, but I don't know why Green Bay would even feel like they would need to do that. And I don't think they would need to. And if you're Dillon's agent, you're going like, dude, you got to go somewhere else. There's going to be better options out there for you. You need a fresh coat of paint. Let's get you to some other team. So I really can't see a world in which Dillon's back. I know Dillon loves Green Bay, wants to stay in the area, has family in the area. He's probably going to be a Green Bay resident for a while. But if he comes to Goody and says, I'll do 1 year vet minimum with zero signing bonus, if you're Goody, you have to say yes. There's no downside to that whatsoever. You can cut him in camp with, if everyone is as good as you expected it to be and he's the number five guy, you can release him off from a job on the practice squad and it's fine. Like there's no downside to doing that. And if you do get to a point where all of a sudden you go through camp, right, and Marshawn Lloyd gets banged up again and Emmanuel Wilson gets banged up, and all of a sudden you're looking at the depth chart and you're saying, oh, it's just Josh Jacobs and Chris Brooks. I guess we need another guy, AJ Dillon. There you are. Maybe you could make it that way. But if I'm his agent, I'm saying you got to go somewhere else. You got to go somewhere else. There's no future for you in all likelihood in Green Bay at this point. So I'm going to say leave, but maybe he wants back and maybe he gives Green Bay the discount bargain 1 year vet min and maybe he stays, but I'm going to say he officially leaves. After all the holiday hustle and bustle and spending on about 100 things that you didn't expect to spend money on, the start of the new year can feel like a hangover for your credit. And with the holidays over, it's time to start setting those credit goals for 2025, and it's time to start using Kickoff. Now, my experience personally with Kickoff has been incredible. I found Kickoff online, and I immediately started seeing positive changes in my credit. It was so easy to get set up and get started, and I was immediately impressed by how seamless the entire process was. Now, Kickoff is a credit line that's just set up distinctly for credit building. It's super simple. You make one-time payments, credit bureaus see your good behavior, and your credit grows fast. And if your credit's under 600, you could jump like 28 points in your first month. And the best part is that you can start building credit immediately for only $1 for your first month. And when you sign up, you'll quickly find out, like I did, why Kickoff is the number one credit building app with over 100,000 positive reviews on the App Store. So shake off your credit hangover and look forward to better credit with Kickoff. Get your first month for just $1 at getkickoff.com/packaday today. That's 80% off Kickoff. Without the C, get kickoff.com/packaday. Must sign up via getkickoff.com/packaday to activate the offer. Offer applies to new customers first month only. Subject to approval, offer subject to change. Terms and conditions may apply. Point stat based on Equifax Vantage Score 3.0 changes for Kickoff users starting under 600 who made their first on-time payment between January 2021 and March 2024. Payment and credit activity outside Kickoff can have an impact on your credit. Individual results may vary. TJ Slayton, 457 snaps this past year, 43.0 PFF grade, worst of his career. I had a plus 0.4 grade on him, so I had a little bit of a higher grade on him than PFF did. I'm going to say stay. 330-poundish defensive tackle. They don't really have anyone like him. I do think Halfley likes him. I do think they found a solid role for him. I don't think he's going to be a break-the-bank guy. It's a close one. I would not be stunned if he left. I don't think they have anyone to particularly place what he does on this defense. I like Slayton. I don't love him. I would like this to be more of around like a 1 year, $5 or $6 million deal at the most, something like that. This is going to be probably market driven. If Green Bay can get him back on a decent deal, I think they would love to do so. If he and his agent feel like he can get more money in the free agent market, which is quite possible, I think you have to let him walk. I'm going to say that they figure something out and that they keep him around. But this one, again, is a choose your own adventure. Be my guest. I could see this going another direction, but I will officially say that he stays on the team. Eric Wilson, 559 snaps, 64.3 PFF grade, negative 0.05 PFF grade for myself. Very similar. Again, for me, zero is neutral. For them, 60 is neutral. So we're talking very, very similar here. I think Eric Wilson stays. Core special teamer. He's like the ultimate fifth or sixth linebacker. Core special teamer that can come in and play a variety of linebacker positions in a pinch, knows the defense. I get he's over 30. If you get developmental linebackers to bring in and they look good, so be it. You can cut them later. But I do think he's back on a one-year deal, probably a little bit more than the vet minimum with a little bit of signing bonus to kind of keep him around. But I do think he's back. Isaiah McDuffie is a little bit more of a coin flip. 728 snaps this year, 55.4 PFF grade, plus one grade for me. I think he's gone. I think he probably gets a little bit more money elsewhere. But this is another interesting conversation. Obviously does have that familiarity with Jeff Halfley. Did play 700-plus snaps this year. Was mostly a net neutral guy. I do think Green Bay is going to want some fresh blood in that room, and for that reason, I expect him to be gone. But this could be a world in which they bring him back. It's cheap enough, and Green Bay's just like, all right, we'll do it. I'm going to say Isaiah McDuffie gone this offseason. Robert Rochelle played one snap on defense this past year. I think he stays on a one-year vet minimum and competes in camp. Eric Stokes, 588 snaps this past year, 61.3 PFF grade, negative 3.75 grade for me, worst on the team. He did have a plus 0.45 grade over his final five games, so definitely played a little bit better, although he only had six snaps in his past two games, which leads me to believe the writing is kind of on the wall a little bit. But I don't think it's impossible that he gets the AJ Dillon deal. In the fifth year, they get that incentive where basically he makes a little bit more than the vet minimum. and Green Bay gets to give him some extra money, but it only counts towards a vet minimum against the salary cap. So I think that could potentially be something that makes a little bit of sense, or at least could be in the cards. But I think Eric Stokes probably recognizes it might be time to go somewhere else. I think Green Bay probably recognizes it's time to do something else at corner, and I expect a parting of ways. But that AJ Dillon contract structure that Dillon got last year would not stun me for Eric Stokes in any real capacity. That'd be an interesting one. Corey Ballantyne, 75 snaps, 53.5 PFF grade, negative 0.15 grade from me. I think you just bring him back on a, you know, 1 year close to vet minimum, maybe just a tiny bit more. Again, compete in camp. He's a solid player that can play outside, inside, and play on teams. I think they like him. I'm going to say Corey Ballantyne's back to compete in camp. And then Brandon McManus, I think they're going to do everything they can. As we heard from Brian Gutekunst the other day, they want to keep him. I think they will keep him. I think he'll be back with the team. That brings us to our cut candidates. We've talked a ton about Jair Alexander. $17.5 million. I know some of you look at it, or, you know, I've looked at it and it's like, oh, they only, you know, save $7 million by cutting him. They save $7 million in 2024. 2025. They saved $7.5 million in 2025, but they saved $17.5 million this year and next year overall by releasing him. I don't think you would bring him in on a one-year $17.5 million deal. I think if you read between the lines and read the tea leaves, I think he is all but gone. I think the question is, do they trade him or do they cut him? If they can't find a trade, I do think they release him, and I do not expect him back with the team. We shall see. He played 361 snaps this past year, 75.2 PFF grade, plus 0.75 grade from me. Very similar here again, based on the snaps that he played. PFF probably had him a little bit higher, but it's not impossible that he could be back, but I do think Green Bay moves on. Kenny Clark, just you would take too much dead cap it on, and it doesn't make any financial sense this year. In 2026, he'll be a cut candidate, but not in 2025. Rashawn Gary, sort of similar. It doesn't make any financial sense at this point. He's too important to the team. And I think you're hoping that he gets back on track a little bit. He'll be back. Josh Jacobs is a clear and obvious stay. There was that talk last year of like, well, if he doesn't perform well in year one, you could get out of it in year two. That's true. They're not getting out of that. They're going to want to stay into that one. It's not a bad deal at all this upcoming season. Elgton Jenkins, the question would be, would you sign him to a one-year $12.8 million deal? I think the answer is yes. Would be pretty stunned if Green Bay decided to move on from that. I think he will be back. And then Keyshawn Nixon, the question here is, would you sign him to a one-year $4.6 million deal? That's an easy yes as well. He will very clearly be back. So of all the cut candidates, only Jair Alexander is the one that makes enough sense, and I do think Jair is gone. So just to recap everything, all the exclusive rights free agents I expect to be back: Bo Melton, Kadeem Telford, Emmanuel Wilson, Aaron Mosby, Zane Anderson, and Daniel Whalen. John Fitzpatrick, I do not expect to get a restricted free agent tender. He'll become an unrestricted free agent, and I do think Green Bay finds a way to work out a deal with him. I think he'll be back. Andre Dillard, I'm going to say leave. Josh Myers, leave. Tyler Davis, leave. AJ Dillon, leave. TJ Slayton, stay. Eric Wilson, stay. Isaiah McDuffie is a little bit more of a coin flip, but I'll say leave. Robert Rochelle, stay. Eric Stokes, leave. Corey Ballantyne, stay. And Brandon McManus, stay. Jair Alexander, cut. Clark, Gary, Jacobs, Jenkins, and Nixon all should be fine with the contracts that they are on. That is going to do it for me today. Let me know what you guys think. What do I have right? What do I have wrong? What do you feel differently about? Would love to hear your thoughts. Shoot me a message either on the comments below on YouTube, or you can always leave a comment as well on the audio side of things. Appreciate you guys a ton. Again, thank you so much for being here. It's going to be a really fun off season. We got a ton to cover coming up. Always fun going through the current team as is and seeing who will be back, who will be gone. Not a lot of really, you know, noteworthy players here. Like, they could lose a lot of what we just talked about, and it doesn't change the calculus of the team all that much outside of maybe trading or cutting Jair Alexander. But a lot of the key players under contract, going to be back in 2025. Hopefully see some growth and hopefully be the team that next year is making that jump and disappointing the other 31 teams while we get to celebrate a Super Bowl back. 1265. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members, Mo State and Minnesota, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Jennifer Wright, Boom Handel, Donna Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Alex Wong, Arnaldo Espinosa, Peter Ataka, Jay Zimmerman, B Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gasford, Step Keat, Love and Football, Dylan Patscott, Bobby Santoro, SoCal Pack, Allison Tuckwab, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, and Ian Ewing. I will see you guys tomorrow, but until next time, and as always, go Pack, go.